Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Clarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Stonewall Live. This, tonight, we're not going to have an author, we're not going to have a filmmaker, we're not going to have a Webster, we're going to have Howard Cohn from the Florida Initiative for Suicide Prevention. As you know, every day, every 32 seconds, somebody in the United States attempts suicide. Suicide is one of the greatest causes of death for our youth. Bullying, depression, breakups, things like that, that we don't even think of have affected our youth. Howard, good evening.
Good evening, Nate. How are you?
Good. What we're going to speak about tonight is a program that you are involved with, the Florida Initiative for Suicide Prevention. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. It's called the Expressions for Hope Project, and it is something that the Initiative for Suicide, the Florida Initiative for Suicide Prevention, has put together, and it's going to be a theatrical production. It's going to be a little bit different than some of the things that we have done before. We've gone out to the Pride Center and talked to the Pride Center and the people there about suicide prevention resources, what to look for, how to be prepared for people that are in crisis. And this is going to be more of a hands-on activity from the LGBT community. Also, we hope from the straight community as well that know LGBT people, and that they're going to talk about their stories about dealing, you know, as a gay person, the issues that have come up from lack of support with family. But it's going to be done in a kind of a, like I said, a theatrical way. We're going to have poetry reading. We're going to have people singing. We're going to have different groups coming and talking. It's going to be a really interesting way to show people's experiences and what they're going through. I kind of call it our It Gets Better project, and mm-hmm. The reason I say that, because we're really hoping that it will get better, like right now, after they see the presentations. They're going to be at the Pride Center in October, and they get some instant information on how people are dealing with the issues. Mm-hmm. Right now, unfortunately, there's been a big uptick in suicides in the Wilton Manors community, and we really want to stop that from continuing, and that's why we thought that by doing it in an artistic way, kind of, you know, mm-hmm. getting people's attention, that maybe we can have this dialogue. So it's going to be quite exciting.
Great. Let me give you the dates and the places for that. I'll be your pimp tonight. Okay.
I appreciate that. I don't have that in front of me.
Oh, I have. Listen, I've done all my research. It's okay. You're here just for facts.
That's
okay.
On
the,
all right.
The Pride Center.
Take it away, pimp.
The Pride Center is located at 2040 North Dixie Highway. It's called the Pride Center at Equality Park. The program is on the 23rd of May. On the 30th of May, they're going to repeat the program at SunServe. The address for SunServe is 1480 Southwest 9th Street in Fort Lauderdale. By doing it in both of these areas, they've kind of spread out in east and also in the south of Fort Lauderdale. As Howard mentioned earlier, there has been an uptick in this area in both the southeast and the central eastern beach area, the Wilton Manors area of suicides. I personally have been unfortunately touched by suicide as of last week. Actually, a friend of mine lost his life, Anna. So this is not and it's I have another close friend in New York who says that in his gym, 20 men in the last 2 years over the age of 30 have committed suicide. Gay men.
It's really becoming a major issue in our community. Nate, I wanted to tell you that those two dates that you mentioned are our workshop presentations.
Okay.
They're not really presentations. They're just kind of gathering folks to talk about their stories. And if they want, they can go to the actual presentation. They'll be a part of it in October.
Right.
And
okay.
So these are, and there'll be more dates that are going to be coming to get people to come and talk. And the SunServe, actually, I think there must have been a change. It's going to be actually at the SunServe on Wilton Drive, which is actually where my office is at. It's at
okay.
the Wilton Executive Suites, 2312 Wilton Drive. So that's just a little adjustment.
I would like to, if I don't want to confuse anybody, if you go to FISPonline.org and register, mm-hmm. I am sure that when you register, they will give you the correct information on that. I do see it now.
Absolutely.
On one page, it's at SunServe on Southwest 9th. On the other page, it's at the Wilton Manors. So they're both in Wilton Manors. That's fine. Okay, great.
They are both in Wilton Manors, yeah.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. As I said, if you register for these workshops online at FISPonline.org, one word, FISPonline.org. Okay, so let me get back to my questions.
Sure.
First of all, what are some of the signs for a layman, just somebody who maybe just the most psychological training we've had is watching Oprah. So let's say we are out there. What are the signs we're looking for someone in distress?
Major depression is the biggest sign. People kind of retreating to themselves. If they talk about, end of life, sometimes a subtle thing is people start giving private things away. It's not just a spring cleaning, but they give away very private things like jewelry and pictures, and it's you wouldn't think that would be it, but it is, because people are thinking about the end. It really depends on everybody's different when it comes to that. As a mental health professional, what I listen for is if somebody says that they have a plan, that they would do something, like they would say, for instance, I'm trying to put it into the right words, that they think they have, like, they might have bought a gun and mm-hmm. they would do it that way, or they have pills at home. Mm-hmm. They talk about something that there's an action that they would take mm-hmm. to do it. It puts me into that position to ask the question: are you contemplating suicide? Mm-hmm. Are you contemplating hurting yourself?
Mm-hmm.
There's various things, but those are some of the key elements: major depression, people retreating, not doing typical activities, not happy with their lives anymore. Mm-hmm. Not feeling fulfilled, but in a great way. And sometimes people do keep these things to themselves, so
mm-hmm.
it's really hard. Some people do things like they stop eating they stop taking their medications.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, how I find people that you notice that they're thinking about that.
Hmm.
So that's some things.
You mentioned major depression, and I want to ask you a little bit more about that, because, as a mental health professional, that's a diagnosis that you're very comfortable with. But for somebody like me, a layman, I was kind of depressed the other day because, my bicycle tire was low, and, I get depressed when it's like rains for 3 days in a row. So could you give us some of the signs, a little more serious signs of what you're talking about when you're talking about depression?
Not eating, not sleeping, constant fear, a worry about things. A lot of times we find patients or clients that are dealing with bipolar disorder,
mm-hmm.
Which is you go from a manic to a very extreme manic to a very extreme depressed state. We find mm-hmm. a lot of people that are dealing with this are dealing with suicidality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very dramatic depression. It's like mm-hmm. you're not doing the typical things that you would normally, not getting out of bed, not leaving your home, not wanting mm-hmm. to do anything,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. Does that help?
Yes, that does help. And I want to add something that I noticed empirically, which I don't know if it's ever been it's something I don't know that it's ever been written down or I've never seen it, is in the case of the friend I had that I lost last week, I saw him about 2.5 weeks before the before his successful attempt, and for the first time in knowing him for about 7 or 8 years, I think 8 or 9 years, I noticed he like needed a haircut, and his clothes were not ironed. I mean, he was like one of these guys that his shirt was ironed every day, shoes were polished, you know. And I saw him, and it wasn't like an accident. It wasn't like, you know, I saw him, you know, running out to the gym or anything like that. I saw him out in public, and I just joked with him. I said, you know, slumming today, and it was like a joke, you know, because I just had never seen him dressed like that, and it was a personal appearance that really, and I went, and of course, you know, everyone looks for a reason when something horrible happens to a friend like that. Let's talk about some of the. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's something it's a sign. You know, when someone does, you know, someone, you know, very well, like you said, of your friend, and they do something distinctly different that is so unique to them. It's a time to say, is everything going okay? You know, this isn't like you. You know, sometimes you have to ask the hard questions, and this is something that, you know, we're going to have to deal with going forward in our community, and really, you know, sit down and call somebody and see how, if you notice something different, is really, not that I'm saying, you know, I'm not at all, you know, blaming you for what happened, but it's just something that you noticed, you know, looking back.
Right.
But it is something that we have to be more aware of, is people that are around us, that if they're if they're very drastically different than what they are, it's important to ask, is everything okay? Are you doing okay?
Right, right. And as I said, what we found out, unfortunately, was this had been planned for months. The date and the timing and the location and the staging. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was a staged suicide, which is even worse. We don't want to talk about that anymore. What are you?
But that is a sign, though. You know, that planning for sure.
Oh, yeah, this is so planned out. Everyone was shocked about the planning stage of this. Let's talk about what FISP, or I said that without a list. FISP without a list. Florida Initiative for Suicide Prevention.
FISP without a list.
That's right. Let's talk about some of the programs that you are doing right now. I see you've got the Hope Club, the Hoot Camp, and Survivors of Suicide Loss. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, I'm not in the first two, but I do run a group at Imperial Point Hospital on the first and third Wednesday. We had one last month of the Survivors of Suicide, and it's a beautiful group. Just a little history about FISP is that the executive director started this organization locally because her own son died by suicide back in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. And it's been something that has helped her to heal and to help others that go through it. And one of the great tools of a group dynamic and of this particular group is that when this happens, obviously we don't want this to happen. You know, we don't want to have suicides, but they do happen. Mm-hmm. And this group helps bring people together because it's very difficult to talk to people about somebody dying by suicide. It's a very, we had this conversation last night. People just say they passed away. And they don't really want to talk about the whole thing. And because unless you've dealt with it, it's very difficult to understand somebody who goes through it. And it's the group is really great because it's a group of people. It's mothers, it's fathers, it's sisters, it's brothers, it's family members, partners, what have you, of people that they lost someone by suicide. And it's very, I guess, cleansing in a way to talk about, you know, what happened and what their families went through and what they're dealing with now. And and you see people go through the stages of grief, you know, together. And everybody's in different stages, obviously, because they're kind of different, you know, happened years ago or happened recently. And I've been doing this for about a year, and it's just I'm just so proud to be a part of this. I got involved with FISP at Nova, where I graduated a couple years back, and I went to their county conference and met Jackie, saw the programs, and said, I want to be a part. I want so much when I get into my practice to help with this. It was like it really meant a lot, and she got me involved, and that was the first thing that I did. And there's another program that I'm involved with that I'm very proud of. It's called the Sun Program.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sun Program is for seniors.
Wow.
And we actually have a group that is called the Sunshine Club at a lot of these centers. I'm in Hollywood and in Pembroke Pines right now doing two groups. And we don't call it the Florida Initiative for Suicide Prevention. We call it the Florida Initiative for Solving Problems,
mm-hmm.
because seniors have a real hard time acknowledging that they're dealing with these thoughts, because seniors are kind of taught, you know, from a different generation that's not what, you know, we have to take care of. We have to buck it up and we have to get through stuff. We can't
mm-hmm.
think of these things. But they do, you know, and so we do it in a way where if there's issues, we talk about it and we solve the issues within the community. If their people are having issues with their other residents or with their family members, and
mm-hmm.
it's great because I was kind of raised by my grandparents, and it's sort of like having a dialogue with them, you know, by being
mm-hmm.
amongst all
yeah,
these
sure.
older. I love it, and they're just so interesting because they're so honest and real, and we talk about stuff. And so I'm involved with a couple of different, and now the art grant that the Expressions
mm-hmm.
for Hope right now that we're doing.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah, sure.
I'm pretty active with the organization.
I can't imagine. Do you have any free time? Probably not.
Not too much, but you know, I do have a wonderful partner, Daniel, that who's
great.
We do spend a lot of time debriefing and you know, going. He's a great listener, and he know he's helping out with the Expressions for Hope too. He's going to film
great.
And be a part of it, and
good.
You know, a family that stays together. You know, we
that's great.
We stick together and we do it together. So
that's great. Again, I'm going to speak from a layman's turn to ask you some questions,
sure.
Some of it because I'm very, very curious.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a family, when you are a friend of a family member, you know a family member, a family that's had a loss through suicide, what are some of the things
right.
you should not say, and what are some of the things that you should say, and what can you do, and what should you not do after a suicide?
Well, I think the most important thing is to, you know, obviously respect the loss, you know, like when you said it, you had a loss, you know, it's very important to acknowledge it, you know. Unfortunately, with suicide, there's a kind of a stigma attached
mm-hmm.
to it when somebody dies that way, because it's not a normal death, I'll put it
mm-hmm.
that way. It's not a natural,
mm-hmm.
is what we said last
right.
night. And
ooh, yeah.
You have to acknowledge it. If the person admits it that it's a suicide, you know, you have to acknowledge. Oh, I'm so sorry that, you know. And the person hopefully will say they died by suicide, and I'm so sorry for your loss. And then, you know, the best thing to do truly is just to listen, is let them, you know, share about the person, whatever they're comfortable with. The worst thing to say is something like, and we've heard this before, if they have other children, well, you have another child
mm.
or something. You know,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Okay.
Or something to the effect that, you know, negative, well, they shouldn't have done that. That was, you know, that was terrible. You know, that's a sin. That
oh,
they,
yeah.
you should never, you know, say things that demean
mm.
the person's loss.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unfortunate. It's a very difficult thing. And because we're talking about it, ask them, you know, if after they share and talk about it, have they gone to any support groups? Have you been
mm-hmm.
to a support group? You know, there's a lot of information online about suicide support groups, and they can just
mm-hmm.
Google that. They can Google FISP. You know, now that people are listening, and there's
mm-hmm.
so much information. There actually are online support groups for
wow.
people that have, yeah, it's, and, you know, I think that's terrific because, you know, some people, it's very hard to get up and go after
sure.
something like this. You know,
oh,
I
sure.
mean, it takes, we find people that take years to get to a meeting because they're so sad about it. The other thing too, and this is kind of a side note that a lot of people don't think about, is that when somebody and they know dies by suicide, they're around them, their family, they're actually at risk themselves for contemplating it. Because
really?
if they're a family member, if they're related to them, we find that suicidality is hereditary. There's usually a few in the family, but also because it's so, they've had this great loss, and
mm-hmm.
They want to be with them. They can't live without them. It's very important that those people go to groups because they're dealing with such a huge loss.
Wow.
To them. So the best thing to do is just to say, I'm so sorry, listen, and just hear what where they're at.
Okay.
Be with them where they're at that time and try to get them some support. And I want to say something to you that 211 is also a wonderful hotline in Broward County. You probably have heard about it.
Sure.
And
wonderful.
People can call that if they're distressed about it, and they actually direct people to FISP. So if it's something,
right?
Go ahead.
Isn't 211 also for Palm Beach County?
You know, I'm not sure. I just know that it's Broward,
okay,
and but it could be, because I think it rings, it connects, and if it's in
right.
Palm Beach, it goes to Miami or
right.
something. I'm not 100% sure about that, but
I
think it might be the same number in Palm Beach.
I think it's the same number in Palm Beach. I think Miami has a different number, but I think Palm Beach and Broward are 211, and it is an excellent
organization.
Yeah,
Miami doesn't have a different hotline. Yeah.
Right, it's a different hotline. But I want to talk a little bit about your expressions of hope. You have made some amazing partnerships to put this together.
Yeah.
Of course, the Community Foundation of Broward. I don't know if the people out there know what that is. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because you did make a presentation.
Why don't you talk about it? Because
I do have a connection with it through my other work with the Stonewall Library. The Community Foundation of Broward is a started out not that long ago from a small group of people who just wanted to not just give a bunch of money to an organization. What the Community Foundation of Broward does is it lets people give money with directed funds, and then the organizations have to go through the mission of the CF Broward, or Community Foundation Broward, which is, their motto is, for good, forever. And in other words, they just don't give you the fish, they teach you how to fish. So your nonprofit board, and they only give money to nonprofits, has to go through training, sometimes rigorous if you're a new board, and sometimes just a little touch-up. They bring in professionals from all over the country, and you sit down and you talk to other board chairs or other treasurers, and you come up with these elegant, beautiful programs. And so every dollar that they pay out is going to an organization that has been trained, been audited, and is going to continue to do feedback. In other words, it's not like the government. It's not like just a charity that does a handout. It has made
right.
an incredible effect on this city. If you are a GLBT person out there, I'm going to give you three organizations that they have built from scratch. The Pride Center, which has done a huge
mm-hmm.
growth. SunServe.
More of our community.
And then, of course, the Stonewall National Museum and Archives, which I've been involved with. Those three organizations
yeah.
that both have national attention. They're clean. They serve exactly what they want to do. They don't overlap. And so I just want to salute FISP for making that partnership, because it is not every organization that is accepted to CF Broward. And I just want to say some nice things about them. So there, I'm done.
Well, I think that's awesome. And I'm talking to Stonewall, now we're totally connected with all three, which is so exciting. You know, for me to be
right.
That you know, I'm doing this community work, and it's it's benefiting the it's like a total circular
right.
thing that I'm so happy
right.
about, so that I'm so able to do this so quickly and building
right.
my business. So it's
good.
It's wonderful.
Good.
It's great alliance,
yeah.
all of us together.
No, it is great, and that's exactly how we do things. We do things through partnerships, because there's absolutely no way that the GLBT community, that and that any nonprofit today that's trying to do what you're doing can't work alone. It just can't happen.
Absolutely.
You know, you've got it. You've got it.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of the multimedia approach. I absolutely love that, because you know it's going to catch the eye of the young people. It's going to catch the eye of the disenfranchised. You know, we're a very digital, touchy feely, physical world. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple of other questions coming from the chat room.
Sure.
What is the boy, girl, male, female breakdown on suicide? That's a good question.
Well, now, when you say it again, the boy, girl, is that what you said?
Somebody is asking, what's the boy, girl, I mean, is it more boys than girls, or women than men?
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, that's the question, yeah.
You know, I wish that Jackie was calling in, because I don't exactly know the right answer. I know that both sexes do suicide different. That the boys tend to be a little bit more violent, and they tend to complete their suicides more. So possibly it's the men that are, there's more men than there are girls. The girls tend to do it with medication, with mostly with, you know, taking overdosing on
right.
meds. But they do cut, you know. I mean, it depends. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, across the board, this is
right.
how it goes. Every suicide obviously is unique.
Right.
But the men tend to complete more suicides, because they use guns. They
right.
they do
oh
things
my God.
Very
right.
they, you know, do trains or something that's violent. More the girls are a little bit more on the passive side.
I see. And that's right. You
that I can say.
Yeah, cutting and medication, you don't know the dose or where to cut and stuff like that. Whereas a gun, it's pretty easy to, or hanging.
It's done.
Hanging. Yeah.
Absolutely. Hanging is a, yeah.
Right.
But that, I've seen both. I've seen male and female on that too.
Wow. That's interesting. I just, that was interesting. That was a great question. I didn't realize that. And, you know, LGBTQ, I don't know what all the questioning.
Very specific group.
Yeah. I know that just. I'm partnered with, I get debriefed because I'm married to a psychiatrist, which is even stranger than normal.
Yeah.
I know. He's sitting here laughing at me.
We have the opposite household.
I know. But anyway.
My partner's married to me.
I know. It's really weird. I mean, it's kind of an odd thing. I don't know when to say or when he says things. But back to the questions that he had, that I've always had with him is, you know, you've got this group of people that, you know, they're I think it's four times more likely to have to abuse illegal drugs, twice as likely to be a smoker. You know, usually has a lot of other, you know, self-esteem issues. So you're already starting out in this. You know, on third base, on their way to, you know, depression or some sort of a breakdown.
Sure.
It doesn't take much, does it?
That's why we're doing, you know, this connection with LGBT, because it's a population that's so unfortunately the statistics are higher.
Right.
Because of
sure.
what you said. The other thing that you didn't say, which I know you would if you knew this, is that it's a lack of support system.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
a lot of us have to develop our own families, because our families
right.
have rejected us in a lot of ways. And so, and sometimes there's this
right.
thing, because there's something called internal homophobia too, which is, you know, that not liking yourself for being gay. And
okay.
so if you have a support system of people that are like that, that they don't like being gay, and
right.
it's like this, there's really not support there. And
exactly.
not saying that everyone is like that, but it makes it more difficult.
Sure,
and then
sure.
if we talk about the transgender, you know,
oh,
community,
yeah.
it,
gotten into that.
It's
yeah.
so much more difficult, you know,
right.
for this community to get work, to be accepted.
Sure.
They get bullied. You know,
sure.
so much more than the just regular gay, you know, people.
We could have
and
a
so
whole
we really
show.
Have to be very proactive you know, in our community to make sure that we're setting out the right resources and letting people know where to get, you know, where to get assistance.
Howard, we're going to have you back in October when your program is over. Believe it or not.
I would love to.
We're done. This is 30
wow.
minutes.
Wow. You're right. It was the fastest half an hour I ever had.
Okay. Good night from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate it.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.